If you are a creative type, maybe you're in R&D at your company or you're in research at a university, chances are you may have had cause to file for a patent. For anyone seeking a patent, March 16th is a very, very important date. That is the day the United States changes its patent system. And companies and inventors are being urged to kind of step on it, take advantage of the current system before the big change. So we're going to find out what this big change is and whether it might help or hurt businesses, universities, and inventors. Joining me now in the studio, we welcome Bryce Pills, who's an assistant professor in the Entrepreneurship Clinic at the University of Michigan. Bryce, welcome to Stateside.
Great. Thanks for having me.
And also from U of M, Max Stein, who's a professor of material science engineering, and he also teaches innovation at the Entrepreneurship Master's Program. And so, Max, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Good to have you both here. So, Bryce, the big, big change happening March 16th is essentially a change from what's called the first-to-invent system of filing to the first-to-file system. Explain the difference.
So first off, the act is really broad, and this is just one small component.
And this is the America Invents Act?
The America Invents Act. This is far and away the most expansive revision to our patent laws that we've had since patent laws came into effect 200 years ago. And one aspect of it is this change from a first-to-invent system to a first inventor to file. And basically that gets at what do you look at in figuring out who we're going to award a patent to. So if you have two people that come up with the same idea and they're both seeking a patent on it, under the current system, we are one of the few countries or maybe the only country in the world that said if you're the first to invent, we're going to give the patent to you. It doesn't matter when you filed as long as you didn't delay in seeking to file an application. The rest of the world said as between two people that are inventors, the first to get to the patent office, the first to file the application is going to get the patent, even if you are the second to invent. Many people are concerned that this says, oh, now there's going to be a race and you just need to file a patent application. It's important to note that you still need to be an inventor. It's the first inventor to file. It's not the first person out there to hear of something and run to the patent office and file a patent application.
And this really matters in Southeast Michigan. This recent report by the Brookings Institution finds that Southeast Michigan, especially Ann Arbor and companies in Detroit, are among the top spots in the nation in terms of patents being awarded. How does this all impact us, I guess, just widely? I'll start with you, Bryce.
Well, patents are one metric you can use to show the type of research activity and innovation that's going on in an area. People will apply for patents because it gives you a monopoly. 20 years from the date you file a patent application, you're the only one in the United States that can make you offer to sell that invention if you're awarded a U.S. patent. And we grant that monopoly to someone to incentivize them to come up with these great ideas and also to incentivize them to disclose that idea to the world, because you teach the world how to practice your invention in a patent. Once your monopoly expires, then it's part of the public domain and we can all learn from that. It's better than everyone keeping their ideas secret as a trade secret. And so if people are spending the money it takes to apply for and get these patents, it shows the amount of great creativity in an area, especially in the medical arts and the hard sciences like engineering where Max practices.
Is this a predictor of job growth, Max?
Well, it can be. I would say that what you often see in companies and corporations that file for a lot of patents, it reflects perhaps more on their budget that's allocated toward that rather than their commercial success. The overwhelming majority of patents have very little or no commercial value. Something like 99% of all patents have very, very little commercial value.
Is that the kind of thing like Uncle Marty might have invented up in the attic?
Something along these lines. I mean, there's thousands of patents for mousetraps, and there's only a few that are actually effective. There's patents for devices to screw in light bulbs, all kinds of very, very neat things. With the new law, I'm getting the impression that there's some clauses in there that are going to make it they're going to create an advantage for companies with large budgets to file and prosecute
folks.
And prosecute patents. There's kind of a clause in there for challenging patents after they're issued or after they're applied for, but before they're actually granted. And the whole legal process that's involved in doing that, companies with big budgets are going to be able to get through it a lot better. So there are some concerns. Yes, we do have a very large patents per capita figure in this area. probably because of all of the industry that's here, probably because of all of the universities that we have here. We actually have quite a number of very good universities in the state. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing if we're just talking about things statistically. But there are also some thoughts out there emerging more recently as to how do we make these patents and these ideas more effective, and how do we bridge that gap between invention and innovation and commercialization more effectively so that we're not just playing a numbers game, mm-hmm. just like everybody else. And so that's part of what we've been trying to address, actually, with a lot of these entrepreneurship programs at universities. And so one way to look at it is that universities now have a civic duty to help with commercializing a lot of the discoveries that they're making. It is taxpayer dollars, after all.
And Bryce Pills, I want to have your take on that as we wrap up.
So just one point on the small company versus mm-hmm. big company. Max brought up a good point that one other aspect of this new patent reform law is that it's easier to challenge patents that have been issued. And I think that is one area where there's concern that big companies are better equipped to exercise that challenge process. And perhaps that just adds barriers to small companies, because not only do you have to pay a bunch of money to get a patent, but mm-hmm. now a big company can challenge it even after you have an issued patent.
Have a lot of money to keep challenging.
And have a lot of money to keep challenging. On the first to invent to first inventor to file change, I actually think that's an area where small companies may be able to take advantage of that better than big companies. Big companies take a long time to make decisions to file patents. Yeah. It needs to go through a first review committee, a second review committee, and then they finally file.
Yes.
Now, they're probably going to change that a little bit. But small companies can be tremendously nimble. And, you know, realizing that they have something that's protectable, working with the patent attorney to file a provisional application, universities like the University of Michigan have become pretty sophisticated in how they use provisionals to get a filing date quickly so people like Max can go out and talk and publish about mm-hmm. their inventions. So it'll be interesting to see how people change their behaviors to take advantage of this new system. And on Max's last point, you know, I agree. You know, patents are just one metric. You know, for a long time, there's been a perception and probably a reality that there were a number of bad patents out there. And the patent office was probably not doing as good of a job as it could of both issuing good patents and then making sure it wasn't issuing bad patents. And so one of the important aspects of this bill, I think, is that it makes it easier for the patent office to maintain its fees. Congress can't divert those fees to other uses. And hopefully we're going to have a better funded and better functioning patent office. And one aspect of that is the new patent office we have in Detroit, which is, you know, hopefully going to be able to speed up the examination process and make it easier to get these good ideas to market.
And issue patents that are actually worthwhile instead of the gazillionth mouse trap.
Exactly.
We've been speaking with Matt Stein, who's a professor of material science engineering and teaches innovation at the Entrepreneurship Master's Program at U of M. Max, thank you for joining us. And Bryce Pills, who's a professor in the Entrepreneurship Clinic, also at U of M. Good to have you both with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.